It's nice to be in O'Leary. It's been a while since I've been here. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, and verse 15. Luke 14 and verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto them, that's the Lord Jesus speaking, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And that's all we'll read. Trust that God will bless the reading of his word along with what you've already heard. Now, this passage has been on my mind for a good little while, and we trust that God will give help. Now, just a little bit of background to Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, where we started at verse 15. Just a little bit of background to this passage. The Lord Jesus was in one of the houses of the chief Pharisees. Our brother David mentioned the Pharisees. And just for some, maybe the younger that don't know what a Pharisee is, just in very simple terms, a Pharisee in the Bible was one that kind of puffed himself up, thought he was better than others. Looked down upon others, thought he was better than others, and thought because of what he did, he would win favor with God and be in heaven. That's what a Pharisee thought. Maybe there's someone here tonight and that's your thought. Maybe your thought is, I'm not as bad as the guy down the road. I'm not as bad as that little boy or little girl in my class and the things they do. I'm not as bad as them. I'm not as bad. I don't say the things that my coworkers say. I'm better than them. But friend, tonight the Bible clearly states there is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is no difference. So that's where the Lord Jesus was. He was in a house with one of the chief Pharisees. They didn't invite him there out of kindness. They invited him there because they didn't agree. The Lord Jesus was proclaiming truth from the Bible. Truth like there's no difference. All have sinned. And you need to repent of your sin or you'll perish. You need to repent of your sin and trust the Savior or you'll perish. They didn't agree with what the Lord Jesus was teaching. They invited him into their home to trip him up. And when he came there, he started noticing certain things in the house. The Lord Jesus, he took notice. He noticed that when some of them came in, some of these Pharisees came in, they looked around in the house and they found the best seat that they could sit in, that would kind of show off themselves. And he brought that to their attention. But he also noticed who was being invited to their suppers. The Lord Jesus noticed that the Pharisees were inviting people to their suppers, not that were in need of food, but those who actually, they expected the Pharisees would invite them, but expecting something in return. That's not how God works. The Lord Jesus clearly stated to them. He said, you should be, and I'm paraphrasing, further up. He said, you should be inviting those who are in need and that can pay nothing, have nothing to pay. Those who are in need and have nothing to pay. Friend, tonight, as the gospel has been preached and is preached, there's no difference. All have sinned. And in your sins before God, you are in need of a Savior. You're traveling, you're on that broad way. If you're still in your sins, if you've never trusted the Savior, you're condemned already, like we've been hearing. You're on that broad way, and you can pay nothing to God. And you need the Savior. And then, here's where we broke into the passage. In verse 15, there was one that spoke up, and he said, "Blessed is the person, or blessed are they that are going to eat bread in the kingdom of God." The saying was right. He wasn't wrong. He wasn't wrong with that saying. But in the verses that we read from verse 15 to verse 24, the Lord Jesus, I'm going to combine them into one of what he really said. The Lord Jesus says that unless the only way you'll be in heaven, the only way that you'll be in heaven and eat in the kingdom of God is if you personally accept the invitation. That's the only way. That's the only way. It's not, there's no middle, we've been hearing there's no middle ground. The only way that you'll be in heaven if you accept the provision, the invitation being offered tonight. And then the Lord Jesus goes on, and he speaks, he tells a story, and he likens it to a great supper. Certain man made a great supper and bid many. I don't know. I like invitations to go out to eat. We were invited out for lunch today. It was wonderful. Now, if you were invited to my house, perhaps, and I was the one doing the cooking, if you refuse, that would be okay. Because I'm told I make a pretty good breakfast, and that's about it. So maybe we'd have breakfast for supper. But if it was somebody else, like our sister Melissa or somebody like that, you wouldn't turn down the invitation. But tonight, this supper, this invitation that's being offered, is the greatest need that you have, will fulfill the greatest need that you have. Maybe there's somebody here and they're saying, well, what's being offered? What's being offered? The Lord Jesus is relating to a supper, the gospel, needful for a sinner. What's being offered? Well, friend, tonight, here's what's being offered. We've been reminded already. Forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of your sins. Peace with God. Inner peace within with God. Do you have that tonight? Do you have a peace when the day is over and you lay your head on your pillow? We've just been reminded of our dear brother Doug. He had a moment where he came to accept the invitation and trust the Savior. When you lay your head on your pillow, that you know that all is well. Should something happen that you'd pass from life unto death, that all is well for eternity. You'd be in heaven. That's what's being offered tonight. What's being offered? The forgiveness of your sins. Peace with God. A relationship now, right now, presently, with the God of heaven. And knowing for sure, yes, you can know for sure that all is well for eternity. You'll be in heaven forever. That's what's being offered tonight. That's the invitation. Have you accepted it? Have you accepted the invitation yet? Maybe you've only heard the gospel a few times. Some maybe have heard it time and time again. Have you accepted the invitation? When I think of an invitation to a great supper, usually we don't think these things. There's two things that come to mind. We don't think these. If someone asks us out for a great supper, sometimes we'll say, well, number one, the biggest thing is you have to respond. Yes or no, there's no middle ground. But sometimes we think when we're invited, we accept, sure, and we say, well, what can we bring? What can we bring? And usually the response is, just bring yourselves. Just bring yourselves. And we don't usually, we show up and we enjoy it, but we don't usually think, there's two things that come with a natural, someone putting on, inviting someone for supper. There's two things that we usually don't think of when we go there and enjoy it. Number one, there's a cost. There's a cost to that person. They had to buy the food, and then there's a work in preparing it for you. Can I tell you tonight that in order for you to have forgiveness of sins, peace with God, a home in heaven, and the invitation goes out? When the master sent the servant out, what did he say? Come, for all things are now ready. All things are now ready. In order to provide for you the forgiveness of sins, peace with God, there was a great cost. The greatest cost of all. Can I tell you about that cost? The very God of heaven loved you so much, it cost him everything. Cost him his only begotten Son. We've just been reminded of that. The verse here, to my right, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I don't understand why he'd love a sinner so that he would send his only begotten Son, the one who is daily his delight. Each of us here probably have sons. I only have one. And he don't always do what he's supposed to do. He don't always please me, but I wouldn't give him for anything. But God had a Son that had did no wrong. The Bible states the Lord Jesus Christ had no sin. In him is no sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. But he gave him for our sin. What a cost. Have you ever considered the Lord Jesus from heaven leaving the splendors of heaven to come to this earth? Why? Did you ever ask yourself the question, why? Why did he come? It was for us. It was for sinners. Sinners like me and sinners like you. Cost God his only begotten Son. But can I tell you about the work involved? The Lord Jesus came to this earth and he said, I come to do the work of him that sent, come to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He came to finish the Father's work in order to provide salvation for me and for you. It wasn't an easy work. He willingly went to Calvary's cross. And there he allowed, just to think of it, the creator of all things, allowing his creation, his sinful creation, to take him. Willingly, he willingly went to take him and to treat him so horribly, to mock him, to mock the very Son of God, to place a crown of thorns upon his head, beat it into his blessed brow, to nail him upon a cross. And what was he saying? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. To lift the Creator up between his own heaven and his own earth. That's what sinful man did. One of our brethren in the prayer meetings tonight reminded us we were represented there. That's what's inside our sinful hearts. We nailed them upon the tree. That's the work, the cost and the work. And then God clothed the scene in darkness. And in those three dark hours, the punishment that I deserve for my sin, the punishment that you deserve, fully deserve for your sin, was placed upon him. Isaiah wrote that the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Can you tell me of a greater work? You tell me of a higher cost? The invitation goes out tonight. All things, and in The Lord Jesus, after those three dark hours, he cried triumphantly, "It is finished. The work is complete." That's why this master can say, "Come, for all things are now ready." Have you ever accepted the invitation? He paid it in full. All things are now ready. All things. But we think of the responses. An invitation, I mentioned, requires a response. I hope your response isn't like the ones in this passage. I'm not going to get into each one of the things, the yoke of oxen that they bought, the piece of land, the wife that they married, but basically here's what they were saying. Sum it up. I've been thinking about this lately. Everybody is so busy. We sometimes sing, "Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin." You know what they were saying? "I don't have time for that right now. I'm too busy. Maybe some other time." The excuses were lame. All they were basically saying is, "I can't be bothered with that. Haven't got time for it. I've got time for other things, but not that right now." There was two things when I read this passage that stood out to me. The kindness of the master. So think about it with me for a minute. If you were preparing a great meal and it cost you a lot and all the work that went into it for someone to come and you know the excuse is lame, you know it's not a valid excuse. If it was me, I'd probably be pretty frustrated and pack it all up and say, "Forget about them." What does he say? Go out quickly. Go out quickly to the streets and the lanes and the city and bring hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt. And the servant said, "It is done, and yet there's room." What's he say? Go out. Go out. Go out again. Proclaim it again. Offer it again. And I was just thinking, how many times has this message been offered to you? The forgiveness of sins. Peace with God. The Lord Jesus paid it in full. And you reject it. You come up with the excuse. Not right now. Can't be bothered. Put it off. And he offers it again. Go out again. Go out again. There's room. There's still room. Can I tell you tonight, there's still room? That door is wide open tonight and the invitation is, come. For all things are now ready. Come. All things are now ready, yet there's room. Go out again. But there is a warning, and the warning is right at the end here. If you continue to put it off and reject the offer, the invitation, you continue to reject, what does he say? What does it say? If you reject and continue and never accept, you will never taste of the supper. You will never taste of the supper if you reject it. If you never accept it, there's no middle ground, we've been reminded. So when you think of the things that are being offered to accept, I was thinking that this afternoon, forgiveness of sins. If you never accept the offer, you'll perish in your sins. Peace with God, if you never accept the offer, and a relationship with God, if you never accept the offer, you'll be separated from God forever. And knowing for sure that all is well for eternity in a home in heaven, if you don't accept the invitation, if you don't accept the offer, there's only two places. There's no middle ground. It's hell, and eventually the lake of fire. Forever. That's solemn. I don't like to speak on that. But it's in the Word of God, and we have to be faithful to God's Word. But friend, tonight, the invitation goes out tonight, right now. Come, for all things are now ready. Paid in full. Why don't you accept the invitation tonight? Trust the Savior. Know your sins forgiven. Come, for all things are now ready. Shall we pray? Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus. We give thanks for his great work upon the cross of Calvary. And we give thanks that whosoever believeth in him is not condemned. And we just pray, even tonight, there may be one that would even turn and accept the invitation that's being offered. Trust him as Savior. Know their sins forgiven. We just ask these things. Take us to our homes in safety in this worthy and precious name.